Thanks for joining us here in the third hour, the Morning Tailgate. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker here with you in our Las Vegas studios. All right, the key word of the day is cabana, C-A-B-A-N-A, cabana, not banana or savanna, cabana. Text the word cabana to 702-365-9200. And why, Clay? Because you qualify to win this week's Summer of Fun. When you do that, that's three nights in Vegas. You get the Sphere Show and or a September Super Concert with a boxing match, hotel room spending cash, $1,000 spending cash with a pair of tickets for Alejandro Fernandez, Cirque du Soleil, the High Roller Observation Wheel. Text the word cabana, C-A-B-A-N-A, to 702-365-9200. Also, other points of interest is the new app at lvsportsnetwork.com, where you can stream the shows on both iPhone and Android. Very reliable, nice to have on hand. So make sure you make that part of your everyday. Go to your app store, go to your Google Play store, and download LV Sports Network, the app for your streaming services, won't you? 702-365-9200 is the number here on R&R 920. Albert Hall with the Vegas Summer League is going to join us around 9:15. We'll talk to him about what's new, what's different. There's some great stuff going on that week here in Las Vegas, and it's coming up July 12th through the 22nd. You can get your tickets up at nbaevents.com, but you can also go online to lvsportsnetwork.com because on the front page, on the clicker, you could register to win a VIP for the day. What that means, you can enter to win two tickets to any game July 15th through the 18th at the Michelob Ultra Courtside Deck. Get this, there'll be open bar, food, and premium viewing. Go to lvsportsnetwork.com and learn how you can be and register to be a VIP for the day for the NBA Summer League. Here on Raider Nation Radio, as we were talking about, for the last couple weeks of, the possibility if the Dallas Cowboys don't seem to play their cards in the hands of fate and sign Dak Wilson or Dak Prescott, and he becomes a free agent. There's an interesting story that kind of comes out, and it comes from the Philly Voice, and I just want to, some of this bears repeating of why the Cowboys, if you're waiting for maybe a prove-it year, another prove-it year from Dak Prescott and or CeeDee Lamb, some things to consider. That this team may not be that good coming up. And that happens to be, preseason week two opponent for the Las Vegas Raiders. But the story goes on to say, all right, you got Micah Parsons, you got Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb trying to get an extended contract. Okay. But there's also a caveat where Jerry Jones had promised the team that he was going to go all in, but yet they slept through free agency. The guys that they let go, they lost. Left tackle Tyron Smith, Tyler Biadasz, their center, Tony Pollard running back, all the way down from Michael Gallup, Jonathan Hankins, Dante Fowler. They lost a lot of guys. They retained a few of them, but what they really just signed in the offseason was linebacker Eric Kendricks and running back Ezekiel Elliott. That's really not quite the free agent spending you would expect from the Dallas Cowboys. So added to that, because you lost so many guys on the offensive line, the guys that you do have is very shaky. Listen to this. It's Tyler Guyton at left tackle. Okay. Tyler Smith at left guard. They're going to have a competition at center between Cooper Beebe and Brock Hoffman. But Zach Martin, the 34-year-old Zach Martin, is going to be starting at right guard. And we're talking about somebody who's kind of like in the down end of their career, as well as Terrence Steele at right tackle. I mean, I think the only guy you can feel good about is Tyler Smith at left guard. But if you're expecting more out of your offense to get further than you did, it doesn't seem like the cupboards are very stacked as far as depth on the offensive line, and especially if you need to have that big outstanding year from Dak Prescott, he doesn't have a whole lot to work with on either weapons and or offensive line help.
Yeah, and you look at Tyron Smith, I mean, 2022 games, 2021, 11 games, 2022, 4 games, 2023, you played 13 games, but that's not a real... I don't think they lost much in Tyron Smith. I mean, the theory of Tyron Smith is a lot different than the reality of Tyron Smith at this stage of his career.
Always has been. Yeah,
he could rebound and do really well, and you hope for the best for him, and that would be great for him. But he's not somebody that has been really all that reliable recently. So all the players that you just mentioned to me are replaceable players, Dante Fowler, Michael Gallup. I mean, they're guys, but they're not like integral parts of the team, players that theoretically should be able to be replaced by younger players, or you know, not fringe. I'm not saying fringe guys, but easily replaced. You know, so I think what Jerry Jones was talking about all in was they were going to be hampered free agency wise. There's no way that they could have spent a whole lot of money in free agency because they've got three big names that are coming up for new contracts in Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons. We're talking about three players that are at the top of the, you know, at the very top or very near the very top of players at their positions. You know, Dak Prescott's going to probably be the, for a minute or two, the highest paid quarterback. That'll either happen with the Dallas Cowboys or someplace else. He will get that money. CeeDee Lamb is not going to get the $35 million that Justin Jefferson got, but he's going to get $32 million, whether it's with the Cowboys or somebody else. Micah Parsons, whatever the highest paid player is at his position, he's going to get that kind of money, whether it's with the Dallas Cowboys or someplace else. Yes. So they were behind a rock in a hard place free agency and being able to add on or add, you know, really good players at high price contracts because they have their own guys to take care of. And, you know, Jerry Jones came out and said he wants to see if, you know, a few more things happen before he decides to go, you know, all in on some of these players. Well, some of those things happened. You know, Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff signed their contracts. Justin Jefferson signed his contract. So you have a better idea of what the market is for your quarterback and for your wide receiver. Now it's a question of is he able to sign all three of those players to contracts that satisfy all three of those players? And all three of those players, when I say this, I can't say it emphatically enough, they are in the driver's seat. They have all the leverage in the world. Somebody's going to pay CeeDee Lamb $32 million. Mm-hmm. Somebody will pay Dak Prescott. Maybe it's here in Las Vegas, the $60 million or, you know, close to whatever it is that he's going to get. Somebody's going to pay Micah Parsons, whether it's in Dallas or someplace else. They have all the leverage. They could just play this thing out this year and just say, I'm not signing for a penny less than I know I can get someplace else.
That's interesting because as the market bears, there's no doubt about it. That market is available for those guys. If they're looking for that kind of money, they'll find
They're good players. Mm-hmm. They're very good players. And Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. Whether, you know, some of our listeners or some of the anti-Cowboy people that are out there want to admit, you put his numbers, and you take a look at those numbers, he is an excellent quarterback. He is a perennial top 10 quarterback. And I think in the right situation, he can absolutely be a quarterback that gets you to the Super Bowl and that can help you win a Super Bowl. It has to be the right situation, but that has to be the case for every great quarterback. We talk about Patrick Mahomes. He's one of one. Everybody else, it is a combination of them and the supporting cast and the coaching and the game plan. There aren't many guys that can supersede all of that. In a way, Patrick Mahomes can. Somebody did point out, I saw on Twitter, why aren't more people talking about the game that Patrick Mahomes had against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl? He played a bad game. But if you look at that situation, they were down to scrap heap right tackle and left tackle against the best offensive or defensive line at the time in the NFL and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was just running for his life in that game. Doesn't matter how creative Andy Reid was. Doesn't matter how good Patrick Mahomes is. When you're playing under that kind of duress, you're not going to, you know, it's going to show. That's one time where Patrick Mahomes couldn't overcome what was not around him. And also the team that he was facing and Tom Brady. Tom Brady played an okay game in that game. And that was really a defensive, you know, oriented win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just really got after Patrick Mahomes. And they did that by taking advantage of two terrible tackles that weren't their starting tackles. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened had they been healthy in that game. So anyway, he aside from that game, he's pretty much a guy that can, whatever faults you have, whatever flaws you might have, Patrick Mahomes is good enough to overcome them. There aren't many other quarterbacks in this league that can do that. And Dak isn't that guy, but neither is everyone else not named Patrick Mahomes. However, if you put him in the right situation with the right team, with the right game plan, on the right day, he can absolutely help a team win a Super Bowl.
All right, we'll come back on the other side with our good friend Albert Hall from the Vegas Summer League. He'll talk about what's new, what's planned here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll get into like also the kind of like the talent we're going to start seeing as especially for that opening night on July 12th. All that and more. It's the NBA Summer League's Albert Hall. He'll join us next here on Raider Nation Radio.
More Silver and Black Talk on the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignor.
Thanks for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate, Vinny and Clay, on your Tuesday. And it comes just once a year, but when it does, it's the crown jewel of the summer of Las Vegas. We're talking about the NBA Summer League coming into the Thomas & Mack and Cox Pavilion Friday, July 12th through the 22nd. NBAevents.com. Get your tickets. And joining us now is the vice president and co-founder of the NBA Summer League. It's Albert Hall with us here on Raider Nation Radio. Albert, thank you so much for being with us. All right, the first time we met was the first year of the Summer League here in Las Vegas, 2004. I mean, do you ever just sit back there and think about, wow, what can be accomplished in this amount of time? Because it has grown into becoming one of the biggest events here in Las Vegas.
Well, thank you, Clay. I appreciate you having me. And yeah, I can go back and remember that first time we met and, you know, we're trying to figure out, hey, what are we doing with media and radio and everything else? And, wow, 20 years later, we've fast-tracked it to where, yeah, I mean, we're excited. We've got the entire basketball world watching us for 11 days in Las Vegas and pretty pumped about how we've been received and how the city continues to support this event and it keeps growing each and every year.
Albert, it's funny to me how so many people mocked, and I use the word not mock draft, but mocked as in laughing at the Lakers for drafting Bronny James. We all understood, you know, some of the strategy behind that selection, but I contend, and I'd argue that the argument that he's not an NBA-ready player right now, well, that's probably true for a lot of second-round picks. You're investing in the future in that pick, and I think Bronny James is not going to be a superstar in this league, but I think he has a chance to be a good, solid player, a defender, somebody that understands the game, understands how to be a good teammate, and do things that are necessary to winning. That's for further down the line. But I laugh at it because as much as people mocked the pick of Bronny James, it sure sounds like a lot of people want to see him play here in the Summer League, and rightfully so. What's been the impact of Bronny James so far that you could tell? I know the Laker interest is always high, but the fact that Bronny James is going to be on their Summer League team this year.
Well, I think you're right, Vinny. I mean, the idea that he's, you know, not an NBA player, a questionable pick, I mean, that's ridiculous. The
exactly.
kid is one of the top players in high school. He had a heck of a ride, was actually a really ascending player at the end of his high school career, was getting better and better. People telling me left and right, man, he's got an unbelievable feel for the game. He shoots it better than people think. And then the poor guy, you know, he goes through what he goes through. And, I mean, you put that on anybody's plate, mm-hmm. it's going to take time to recover mentally, physically, everything. You know, USC, I went and watched them play. They weren't the most functional team last year to begin with. You know, you throw that into the mix. And I thought he handled everything really, really well. You know, Warren, Gary, and myself went back to the draft combine, watched him play. I thought he looked fantastic.
Yep.
I was really surprised at how the narrative was really a second-round grade where – I personally thought someone might take a shot on him late first round, but, you know, things happen for a reason. And to your point, the interest has been phenomenal. We can't wait to see him play, I think, for so many different reasons. You know, his dad being on the Olympic team right there a couple days beforehand, and he tips off on the 12th. It's a feel-good story, I think, that we don't have enough of in sports these days. We focus so many things on the negative,
mm-hmm.
and this is really something that should be very positive. And Summer League is embracing it with complete positivity, excited about it. The Lakers are always a fantastic draw. I think Dalton Connect was a steal in the first round where they got
yep.
him. And, you know, just we're excited. We're going to tip that game off on Friday at 4:30 and then follow it by the 1-2 with Reese Shea and Sarr, who are two really good players that people have not seen. The building will be electric, and, you know, you don't want to miss out.
Yeah, that's on opening night, Friday, July 2nd. The Lakers against the Rockets, 4:30 Pacific time. I'm sorry, July 12th. And then you're going to have number one against number two, Hawks against the Wizards. That'll be the 6:30 game, both at the Thomas and Mack Center. You can get your tickets up at NBAEvents.com. In fact, like sometimes younger teams, they actually find their identity in the NBA Summer League. And it reminded me a little bit of the story of the Golden State Warriors, especially today when Klay Thompson inked the deal with Dallas. Can you describe how, you know, the core of the Golden State Warriors actually found their identity? They found themselves that one year in the Summer League.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, you started with Steph and you built a little bit of a foundation, and then between Klay and Draymond back to back, I mean, they really started to build this momentum and camaraderie, and that happened to be one of our first NBA or our first Summer League championship. And so we actually played for a trophy. I remember we have a great picture of Kent Bazemore, who's on that team, who became a part of that Warriors core as well. But I mean, that was where it all started for them. They'll say that to a man, that you know, there was something special brewing right there. And each team looks for that, whether it go back to Portland before their nice run with Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge and how they changed the narrative there. And, you know, I think Philly, to an extent, with Maxey and some of these guys that came through, you're seeing their kind of, you know, explosion onto the scene, as you will, you know, where, hey, we've got a great core, a great foundation. And that's probably what Atlanta is looking for. You know, they've made some moves. Every team is different. Obviously, the Spurs fit that mold with Wemby and Keldon Johnson and some of the guys that they've had the last couple of years. Now they've got two stars, you know, coming in two young picks as well. So there's something to be said for that 11 days in Vegas, not to mention your coaching staff, your veteran players coming out, your ownership getting a feel where, you know, it's not this stuffy boardroom. It's relaxed, but it's guys sweating in the gym and enjoying it, and then at night breaking some bread and really building that camaraderie.
Albert, and we're talking to Albert Hall from the NBA Summer League, which is right around the corner here in Las Vegas. You mentioned the European, the two French players that were drafted 1 and 2, and then at number 5, Ron Holland, who played in the G League. So you're talking about players that most fans really haven't had a chance to watch play on a consistent basis. You know, in between those two players were a Kentucky player and a Connecticut player. So a lot of people have seen, you know, both of those players play on the college level. But how have you guys embraced at the NBA Summer League? And I know it's been happening for quite some time now. This isn't new to you guys, where you have players that really you're kind of rolling out the red carpet and you know, showcasing them in their kind of premieres to American fans at the NBA Summer League. How have you embraced the unknown factor and the fact that you're kind of, you know, giving them the chance to introduce themselves to the United States?
We look forward to it. We've had a focus on international players from day one.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been our focus because it was very difficult to evaluate them in, you know, these settings all over the world. The internet wasn't as prominent, none of that stuff. So you really, Summer League created this canvas for them to paint their picture. And we had scouts from all over the world to begin with. You know, Warren Legarry, who's years and years, spent years over in Europe, you know, evaluating, scouting, representing different players. And so now we've taken that model here from day one, and you look at a guy like Kristaps Porzingis. You know, he came in for the Knicks as an international guy. Like, okay, he's tall, but can he play? And it's like, wow, this guy's pretty good. And they realize now, and anyone who watches the NBA realizes the impact of the international game, whether it's Luka, Giannis, Embiid, you name it, Jokic. I mean, you look at the last MVPs, they're all European. So, I mean, from that standpoint, you have to embrace them, see how they match up. I mean, to your point, if some of these kids were playing in college with the eyeballs and the ESPN, you know, exposure that they receive, everyone would know their name. It's just they don't right now. But after the Summer League and after they get into training camp, you know, their stories to be told. And quite honestly, their basketball fundamentals are very well advanced. Some may not be as athletic as domestic players, but, you know, you've seen the game kind of adapt a little bit to more of the spacing, more of the three ball. Passing's become a premium now with just moving the ball and getting easier shots. And these European guys or international players, they tend to have a leg up on there. So when they come into Summer League, you may not see that right away, but you see the raw skills, which you're looking for.
It's Albert Hall here with us, the co-founder of the NBA Summer League, also the vice president, along with Warren Legarry here on Raider Nation Radio, Friday, July 12th through the 22nd, NBAevents.com. You can get your tickets. And I think for fans of the NBA Summer League, I think we all know because we've been there and we were used to seeing NBA coaches, NBA execs, ownership, all hanging out, watching the games, all within access. It's just a very casual atmosphere, as you brought up. And for just even a general admission ticket, for $45, you get to go to all the games on that particular day, up to eight games between the Thomas and Mack and Cox Pavilion. What's it like when NBA fans finally get a chance to see, like, oh wow, I'm seeing, like, you know, executives of my teams just sitting right behind me, either, you know, getting a hot dog or in the stands. And next thing you know, you realize that you can point all the way around the crowd. You're seeing Hall of Famers and owners all over the place that you wouldn't normally see by any other pro sports setting.
It's great. Every year we have fans that come up to us and say, I had no idea that we had this kind of access, this kind of energy and excitement, a lot of fun every day. There's a ton of things for people to do on site, but it's really the best value in sports. If you look at what prices are today, you know, keeping our tickets flat for the last several years at $45 plus fees, you know, and able to see eight games in one day, I mean, that is just unheard of. So we're very excited about that, but we continue to recruit new fans. I encourage you, if you've never been to NBA Summer League, come out, give it a shot. There's something for everyone. We're even opening on Thursday night. We have a Creators Cup game with some of the top basketball influencers around the world playing in a game on Thursday evening that's going to launch.
Cool.
We've got a Summer League Film Festival on the back end where we're going to debut some of these content and film projects that people are working on. So you never know what you're going to run into, who you're going to run into or see, but I can guarantee you one thing. You'll have an NBA experience, and you'll leave with a smile on your face and tell your buddies or your friends that you had a story that no one else can tell because you were in the building.
Two questions for you, Albert. I know, knowing Jerry West, how important the NBA Summer League was to him, all the way you go back to when it was in L.A., and he was front and center, you know, time and time again, certainly here in Las Vegas. A, do you guys have any plans to honor the logo at this year's Summer League? And number two, after his passing. And number two, you know, for the last few years, it's just been dawning on me how important second-round picks have become. You see more and more second-round picks turn themselves into good, dependable, if not star-quality players in the NBA. Saw this year that the NBA draft separated the draft from a first round to a second round to give that second round its own stage, which was unheard of, you know, just 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So question B is, why do you feel that second round has turned out to be as important as it has recently?
Well, those are two good questions. And yeah, Jerry West was a huge part of what we do. He was, as we call it, the soul of Summer League. He never missed a Summer League. He and Warren go way back, very close personal relationship. I mean, Jerry took time each and every year to come and speak to our sports business classroom and tell them the real stories, not what you want to hear, but what you needed to hear. You know, he shot it straight, and everybody was just in awe of his presence. But as humble as a human being as you'll ever meet, we do have a nice tribute plan for him, probably around the 3 o'clock hour when every year we would bring him ice cream because that was the only request he had. Hey, can I get a little ice cream at 3 o'clock? So we're going to do that. But no, it's a huge loss for him as well as Bill Walton. You know, Bill really started to embrace Summer League the last several years, and so that's part of the tribute that we're going to pay for our respects to those legends. And then to answer your question on the second-round picks, you know, second-round picks have become extremely valuable for several years, but now even more with the cap restrictions, and you have the ability to, you know, sign them at a lower level, develop them, and then get into a contract relatively soon so you can keep these guys. You know, that's the hardest part, is just maintaining your players now. But, you know, they've become valuable contributors. You know, you may not have you can't really stash too many people overseas. You need to have these guys close and develop. And with the G League now, and you know, they're getting the reps, they're getting an NBA, a sense of what it takes to be an NBA player and the travel and, you know, the diet and the health and the treatment and everything that goes into it. So it's really important. And some teams are, you know, really valuing second round picks more so than ever, depending on how young or old their roster is. And, you know, a place like Summer League is prime for second round picks because you can develop an identity for someone to say, hey, this is, you know, going to be a part of our second unit on our team. And then conversely, all the other teams, all 30 teams are there. So they're recruiting and scouting these second round picks in case of a trade that they may become available as an asset as part of a trade. And they see something that the other teams don't.
Albert, after all these years, what's your most memorable moment out of watching the NBA Summer League here in Las Vegas?
Oh, man, that's a tough one to put my finger on one. I mean, I think, I don't know if you caught our 20-year documentary we just rolled out. It's coming out on Max here. But, you know, Nate Robinson, I think, and retiring his jersey was a pretty funny moment. But yet, now it's almost surreal that, you know, we did that as like to honor him because the guy played more games than anybody. But it was also a moment that he appreciated. So that was kind of cool. You know, I go back to Linsanity, or I go back to, you know, last year, even with Wemby, you know, Zion and the earthquake game. I mean, there's a million different things that we can talk about and reminisce on for 20 years. But I think overall, you know, just the ability for us to be in the position we are to grow this event with the NBA believing in us, you know, Adam Silver being essentially the guardian angel of Summer League saying, hey, no matter how hard it is, we have to keep doing this because it's meaningful for our players, our teams, and eventually the fans will come around, and that's really what it is. So there's a lot of memories, but, you know, that's just a couple.
Well, I was thinking if it was going to be the Lonzo Ball year where Lonzo was making his debut on, you know, game one, and you had his dad kind of sitting in this, like, captain's chair, like, you know, protected by security, but he was yet still very prominent, so you could keep an eye on both father and son at the same time.
Yeah, you know, that was a great year as well. You know, and credit to Lonzo. He seized the moment.
Yeah.
He was like, wow, they're going to make me the focal point. I might as well go out and play my best ball. And quite honestly, that might have been some of his best ball he's played as a pro.
Sure.
Albert, we appreciate it. Thank you again for coming on today to the NBA Summer League, July 12th through the 22nd, NBAevents.com. And we look forward to seeing you down there, especially I really love the Michelob Ultra courtside deck where you got like the premium seating, the great views, but you also there's a bar, there's food. I mean, there's nothing that you guys haven't thought of that hasn't just like totally like advanced this league the way you have done it each and every year. There's something new, and we really appreciate the time and work that you and Warren LeGarin do.
No, thank you, guys. Always the support is unprecedented with our media friends and family in Las Vegas. And like you said, pick up your tickets, NBAevents.com, UNLVtickets.com, packages, different price levels, everything. Come out and enjoy.
Thank you, Albert. We'll talk to you then.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, NBAevents.com, UNLVtickets.com, 739-FANS, 702-739-FANS. You can get your tickets. Do not miss out on this. Because as you said, there's a certain premium now. 4 second round picks. They're not just like, you know, that possible throwaway guy that you're never really sure about. I mean, how many second round picks have we thought of that just never really materialized, although they're like, wow, that was a sneaky good one?
Yeah. Well,
it's different now.
Well, yeah, especially with the, you know, you have 15 roster spots. You've got two-way contracts where you can, you know, play players in the G League and up on your roster. So there's a much bigger emphasis on developing these guys. You know, a lot of times those second round picks just went straight to Europe, you know, or the CBA. Now there's a place for them. And for me, my favorite Summer League memory is pretty easy. It predates Las Vegas. This goes back to 1996 in Long Beach, California, at the Pyramid at Long Beach State.
Oh, nice.
Kobe Bryant's Summer League debut, 17 years old, scored 27 points against the Detroit Pistons, shot it over 20 times. So that was definitely a sign of things to come. But I'll never forget watching that game. And, you know, obviously for a 17-year-old kid, you know, Kobe was you know, put on a show, and you could see already the beginnings of what he was ultimately going to become. But there was a first-round draft pick by the Lakers that year in the 20s, and he went to Arkansas Little Rock, not Arkansas Fayetteville, Fayetteville, Arkansas was where the university, not the big Arkansas,
right.
It was Arkansas Little Rock. It's guarded by the name of Derek Fisher, who was on that team playing really well. I was like, yep, Jerry had another great offseason, you know, trading for Kobe Bryant, drafting Derek Fisher, and then that was also the year that they signed Shaquille O'Neal. What a transformational summer that was for the Lakers in 1996. But yeah, seeing Kobe's. But I mean, I saw David Robinson's you know, summer league debut, Akeem Olajuwon. I could go on and on because, you know, back then, even further back, the summer league was at Loyola Marymount, which was right down the street from the forum where we worked. And, you know, you just drove up to the to Loyola Marymount, right down Manchester Boulevard, and saw just some of the greats of the greats of the greats. And it just every single year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, Albert has done such a and Warren Legare have done such a tremendous job building this thing out. You can't think of a better place. And the fact that the United States Olympic team is going to be there, shortly before.
Yeah, at Mendenhall Center, amazing.
Right, they're going to do their training camp. They're going to have a game against, I forget exactly who they're playing, but they're going to have an exhibition game. Just a great time for basketball. And mark my word, the NBA is coming full time here pretty soon. So it's all in motion and it's all happening. And I can't wait.
Well, get your thoughts up at 702-365-9200. Also, go up online to our website, lvsportsnetwork.com. On the front page is a chance for you to register to win VIP tickets for a day. Go up on there, enter your name, number, and information, and then you get a chance to be with somebody else, you and a person, your good buddy, to the Michelob Ultra courtside deck with open bar food and premium viewing for one of the games between July 15th through the 18th, lvsportsnetwork.com.
So we were talking earlier, first day back from New York. Clay, New York City is an expensive city.
So I've heard.
Do you know that? Yeah. So it was well worth it, but man,
everything's either $20 hotel, bucks or $200 bucks.
Hotels,
you know?
Yeah. Car services, Ubers or taxis around town, getting on the trains, dinners, you know, all of those wedding gifts. It adds up, man. And I know that when my wife and I sit down, and typically it's her who does this, so shout out to my beautiful wife for holding all the finances down. But we're probably going to sit down with a glass of wine and go over the budget and go, oh my God, we really did spend that much money. So anyway, it's just a harsh reminder that, man, you need money. Money, money, money. It makes the world go around. And sometimes we're in a position where we need money, like right now. And maybe you're in a position right now where you need $500 to $5,000 like yesterday. Maybe you're losing sleep because the credit cards are maxed out, or maybe the credit report isn't where it needs to be. Don't worry about it, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow, literally. So when you need cash, you need it now. Why wait? Head over to the experts over at LendingStore.com. Let them help you find a lender that can get you that $500 or $5,000 as early as tomorrow. Just go to LendingStore.com. For all the details, and don't sweat it.
They going at it. ALC had a hell of a day today. He was throwing some balls. I forgot, you know, even as a teammate, I forgot he had in him. You know what I'm saying? And I know he got it in him, but he was just making it known again every day, like, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to work for this job. And then Minshew, he got me today on third and long. I know, like, what you were saying, I knew they was trying to holler on me. Minshew at the top of the drop. Gave me a little pump fake, and I broke on it. You know, most quarterbacks can't do that. They don't have that awareness. They don't have the poise. They don't have the, you know, they just trying to get the ball out third down. He gave me top of the drop, pump, broke on the ball, to high low, first down. So, and then he pointed at me after. That pissed me off. You know what I'm saying? I didn't jump offside the next play in my head. But, it's a hell of a, it's going to be down to the wire. But I just think it breeds excellence. You know what I'm saying? Either each guy, it's no time for rest. You know what I'm saying? Bring the best out of you. You got it.
Oh, Raiders corner, Nate Hobbs, coming back here on Raider Nation Radio, talking about Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell from OTAs and minicamp. We're back here on the Morning Tailgate. Thank you for being with us. It's Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor. And that's the thing, like, we're seeing up online on a couple global books, some offshore books, putting out season-ending totals for stats for quarterbacks. So you can bet over-under on passing yardage, touchdowns, interceptions for the Raiders. Instead of having the competition up there between O'Connell and Minshew, they've just labeled as Gardner Minshew the de facto starter. So we'll get your thoughts on this. I'll give you the numbers, and you give me the over-under, if you will. The over-under passing yardage for Gardner Minshew in the regular season, 2,350
over.
And a half. Okay. Regular season passing touchdowns, 13 and a half.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Are they I'd probably go under because they're not assuming that he's going to play all 17 games.
I would think so too, right?
Yeah. So that has to be – is there a qualification here that are these 17-game –
Nope, you're just going to bet it blindly. Yeah. It's almost like you feel like, all right, he's as much of a starter as Geno Smith or Drake May would be.
Well, okay, then I would go under on all these numbers.
Me too. Yeah. I would be burying the under for touchdowns, 13 and a half picks.
But that's only because I don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback and play 17 games.
Yeah, because we don't think he's going to have the opportunity to even accrue that many stats. Because I don't think you necessarily.
But it could be a. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I don't necessarily know if everyone seems to be thinking that Gardner's going to win this job, but I think they're going to start off with Aiden O'Connell. It's his job to lose.
Yeah. On the other hand, it could be a shrewd bet because if he does win the job, we don't know. Okay, that's the bottom line of the whole situation. You don't know. But if you bet the over thinking that he's going to be the starting quarterback or just the off chance that he's going to be the starting quarterback, could turn out to be a hell of a bet. Why don't you just bet? If I was doing it, why don't you just bet the over for both of them? Like, I don't know what – do they even have
– Nope, not yet. Nobody's put a over-under for O'Connell's regular season yardage.
Yeah. If both of those – if both players come in at those similar numbers, I would definitely do the over for both of them.
Okay.
Now, unless they're thinking – that, you know, it's going to be an exchange type of a thing. And, you know, 4 weeks, Gardner will have the job. Then the next 4 weeks, Aiden will have the job or some sort of, it's not even a plan. It's just that might be what ends up happening because one's not playing good enough to hold on to the job. So then the under becomes back. It's a tricky bet for the Raiders quarterback.
It is tricky. So let's say if you put a Aiden O'Connell regular season passing yardage at 2350, like they did with Gardner. Would you go over or under? Last season, in 10 games or 11 games, Aiden O'Connell had 2,200 in 18 passing yards.
I would only do that thinking that, if he was going to be the starting quarterback, I think he blows through those numbers.
Yeah, I do too. I think you're looking at maybe 3,200.
Yeah, as the playing the bulk of the season, right? So that's the key to the whole thing. How comfortable are you making that bet that one or the other, whoever you're betting on, especially if you're betting the over, is going to be the starter. If you bet Gardner Minshew right now and it's the under and it's Aiden O'Connell being the starter, you probably just made a hell of a bet.
Tell you what, I think after preseason week two, they're probably going to reshuffle these numbers.
Could be.
And we kind of talked about it, over the course of like, all right, how will they start to define who's going to be, offered the starting job or who's going to have the best ability and opportunity to earn it? We're kind of thinking that maybe week one, it would be Aiden O'Connell to start against the Vikings just to see like what you have there. And then maybe the next week in preseason week two, it would be Gardner Minshew
to give both quarterbacks a fair chance to play behind a majority. I don't know if all the starters are going to be playing offensively, but you would think that, to make it as equitable as possible or fair as possible for both quarterbacks, you give each a chance somewhere along the line in the preseason to play with first-teamers.
Okay. Hey, check it out online at lvsportsnetwork.com. Not only is that your streaming home, make sure you download the app for either iPhone or Android and catch our podcast up there after the show, lvsportsnetwork.com. Stay tuned. Rich Eisen is next. Then it will be from 12 to 2, Harry Ruiz filling in for JT the Brick and Q Myers from 2 to 5 here on Raider Nation Radio. Have a great day, everyone.